Did violent video games play any kind of role in messing up Nicholas Cruz's sense of right and wrong? Cruz faces trial, as of this recording, for allegedly shooting up students and others at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, on February 14th, 2018. Jack Thompson once wrote a book called Out of Harm's Way, which deals with the negative impact of violent video games. Jack, whom Howard Stern once called a quote-unquote lunatic lawyer, was a guest even a couple times on 60 Minutes talking about the link between violent video games and violence in society. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Jack, it's great to talk with you again. Appreciate it.
Jerry, it's great to talk with you. Can I give you a little personal history on this, which
absolutely.
Is of actually historical significance?
Yes,
in 1999, I represented the parents of three girls shot and killed in the Paducah school shooting. That was one of the first mass school shootings, which began a trend in America. And we filed a federal lawsuit in Kentucky alleging that this adult mature-rated video game, Doom, was a game that Michael Carneal, 13 years of age, trained on to author the school massacre. And the day after we filed that federal lawsuit for wrongful death, we appeared on NBC's Today Show. And Matt Lauer asked me, what do you fear, Mr. Thompson, based upon what you've learned in Paducah? And I said, what we fear is that other boys in other American high schools are going to train on the same murder simulation game and do the same thing or worse. 2 weeks later, Columbine happened, and we learned within 72 hours that Klebold and Harris had trained on the game Doom. They said in their videotaped suicide note that they wanted to replicate Doom in the hallways of Columbine. 60 Minutes saw my prediction of Columbine before it happened, and they said, we got to get this guy and talk about this issue on 60 Minutes. And of course, that changed my life. Twice I was on 60 Minutes, not because I'm a good communicator, which I'm not, but because this is an important issue that Ed Bradley, of all people, who was the correspondent on both those 60 Minutes programs about the video game connection to real world violence, became a true believer that we have a problem and that CBS should give us airtime to explain to the American people what this problem was. In the aftermath of Columbine, President Clinton ordered the FBI and the Secret Service to do a school shooting threat assessment as to the causes of school shootings, which were starting to grow in number. And what the FBI and Secret Service found was that the perpetrators invariably were heavily involved in consuming violent entertainment, most notably video games, that dissociated them from reality. Fast forward to Marjory Stoneman Douglas, Valentine's Day 4 years ago, Nicholas Cruz walked into his high school, shot 34 people. 17 of them died. And we learned in the aftermath of that when Nicholas Cruz, who was an at-risk kid, in and out of multiple foster homes, certain psychological problems, he was, if any kid was ever at risk, he was to be of harm to other people. We found out, it's a matter of public record now, that middle school teachers did a formal behavioral assessment of Nicholas Cruz, and they found the following, and I'll nearly verbatim quote to you what they said. They said, we find that Nicholas is so heavily involved in violent video games that he cannot tell the difference between reality and fantasy. And they expressed their concern that Nicholas Cruz would become more violent as the years went on. So several years later, we have the Marjory Stoneman Douglas Parkland High School massacre. And I've spoken with eyewitnesses who have played video games with Nicholas Cruz. And according to the Miami Herald, he played certain games which have been linked to other school shootings, such as Sandy Hook, up to, quote, 15 hours a day. And these are games in which and the person I spoke with said that the games he played were Grand Theft Auto, which, of course, has been linked to other events like this, and also Call of Duty. And the problem, I'll stop and get off this initial tirade here by saying that the problem is that video games are so now virtually real, so compelling visually and also as to their violence. levels, that they literally become murder simulators, carjacking simulators. We've got carjackings in Chicago and New York, and I'm now working with a legislator in Illinois about the fact that he's concluded that the joyriding that kids are engaging in after jacking cars is directly linked to the Grand Theft Auto games, according to him. So we've got a problem here, and the problem is that these are mature rated games, which the industry has promised for years will not be sold to underage kids. And yet you can log on to Amazon.com and buy any game you want with no question as to what your age is, and they will send it to you. BestBuy.com, Target.com, GameStop.com, and others will ask you your age, but they'll ask you to self-verify and say, yeah, I'm over 17. So this is a real problem, and it accounts for the fact that we've got a bunch of mini Manchurian candidates out there who are ready, willing, and able to act out the virtual reality they consume, which is now bleeding over into real reality.
Wow. Jack, let me ask you this. What would you say to those who say, okay, you're just trying to make an excuse for this guy, that Nicholas Cruz, I mean, he hasn't been convicted yet, okay? So he's pled
guilty, though.
Okay. So what would you say to those who, you know, it's kind of like the devil made me do it, as opposed to, you know, I was the one responsible.
That's a fantastic question. And let me give you the best answer to it I ever heard. It was by one of the parents in Paducah, Sabrina Steger, whose daughter is dead because of the video games. And she was asked by Ed Bradley on camera, are you saying that Michael Carneal is not responsible for killing your daughter, but that some video game is? And she said, Ed, what I'm saying is there's plenty of blame to go around. And that's the point. Is Nicholas Cruz responsible for what they did? Yes, they are. But when you have a multi-billion dollar industry that says one thing, that is, we won't sell these games to teenage kids, underage kids, and then they turn around and do it, then there's some culpability, at least civilly, and I would argue criminally on their part, because they're in effect training somebody to do something that they know will make a certain percentage of kids do these things. The World Health Organization has found formally in the last 2 years, Jerry, that video gaming addiction is a mental disorder. And so Nicholas Cruz is picking a jury along with the state attorneys here to try him, not as to guilt. He's already pled guilty to that, but as to whether or not he should be executed. And I would assert, as a right to life conservative Republican, which I am, that when the industry has in effect trained this kid unwittingly for years to do what he did on Valentine's Day in Parkland, then I think that affects what the punishment ought to be. I don't think he ought to be executed, because there's plenty of blame to go around. And when you have the FBI that responded to his home and saw that he was acting out violently and did nothing, when you have the school system that predicted in effect that he would become a school shooter, and they then, and this is important, they sent him to a clinic, Jerry, in which he had to agree to play more video games, because it was their thinking at this whacked out clinic that video games would be a release valve for his anger and make him less likely to shoot and kill. And now that's insanity in light of the fact that the U.S. military appropriately uses violent video games to break down the inhibition of new recruits to kill, which is what a soldier has to do in order to protect himself and others. And they spend millions of dollars to immerse their recruits in these games so that they're more likely to kill, and also so that they get killing scenarios to make them more efficient killers. So if it has that effect on military recruits, why in the world would anyone think it wouldn't have that effect on an unregulated, let's dump as much violence as we can into this game in order to make it more saleable? And that's the problem. Everybody knows that they're altering behavior. In fact, the American Psychological Association has 4 times found that there's a causal link between violent video game play by teenagers and increased teen aggression and potentially harm to others.
Wow, this is just astounding. You know, Jack, I remember one of the earliest school shootings, and now we're talking about this is like 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago. But anyway, the little boy who was only 10, as I recall, the sheriff said how tragic this was. He curled up on the cot at the sheriff's office, and he basically said, I kept waiting for the game over sign to come, and it never did. And so you're saying that some of these kids, and maybe even that's true of Nicholas Cruz, they couldn't differentiate between reality and fiction. They were so immersed in this. They were brainwashed.
Well, that's why the military uses them for this, because the problem is, just to give a little history here, that the military has evolved as to how they train their soldiers to get them to kill. In the Civil War, there were simply bullseye targets that you would shoot at and get ready. Then we figured out by the World Wars that if you had a silhouette of a human being, then you'd be more likely, if you're more likely to shoot a silhouette of a human being, then that desensitization would roll over and bleed over into the battlefield. So that now we have found that the willingness to shoot rate has gone from 15% in the Civil War up to over 90%, because the military uses video games to break down that inhibition to kill so that, this happens. If you can kill a human being in virtual reality and feel no remorse and no regret and to do it efficiently, then when you get in the battlefield, your brain in effect flips over into video game mode and you're acting out the video game. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. But this is really tragic. This is an important angle. I feel like I have to say a disclaimer here. You know, the views and opinions expressed on this do not necessarily represent the views of, you know, this station, its management and so forth. But the fact is you're bringing out a factor that many people have overlooked, with not only with these school shootings, but maybe some of this other violence in society at large.
Here's the thing. Teens' brains are different than adult brains. Not to get too technical, but the midbrain gets increasingly, as the brain matures to the age of 25, connected with neural pathways called dendrites to the prefrontal cortex, the frontal lobes of the brain. The frontal lobes are, in effect, the red light of the brain that says, wait a minute, you have an impulse to swing your fist or run that red light or to do something stupid that is emotion-driven that comes from your midbrain, and as you get older and mature and in effect grow cranially a conscience to intercept these dangerous behaviors, you are less likely to be affected by the video games. So what does the video game industry do? They age rate their games, which is an admission that a kid 10 years of age, 11 years of age, and I took my kid into a Best Buy when he was 10 and he was able to buy Grand Theft Auto, which helped kick this entire thing off. It was proof that the retail outlets were not IDing for these games. So you have the industry that admits that they should be age rated. They age rate them, and what do? They sell them to anyone of any age. And this is a deceptive trade practice, which is the angle that is the way we need to go. And that is the tobacco industry regulation used this tool. They said, look, if you're a retailer of tobacco and you say you don't sell it to minors and in fact do, then that's a deceptive trade practice because you're telling the public you're not doing something that you're doing.
Wow.
So that's the tool that's available to us on video games, which I believe we're going to get around to using.
Okay, we're basically out of time. How do people get more information on this, Jack?
Well, they're more than welcome to email me
go ahead. Just give them stuff. And we're going to end on this, but go ahead and give us that.
Yeah, it's Amendment 1, all letters, AMENDMENT1, Amendment 1 at Comcast.net. And I'll send you anything you want, including brain scan studies at Indiana University that show how video games alter the actual structure of a teenager's brain make him more predisposed to violence and so forth. So, folks, this is hard science. This is not Jack Thompson expressing an opinion.
When you say Amendment 1, do you mean the number 1?
No, all letters.
O-N-E. Okay.
And then O-N-E, Amendment 1 at Comcast.net.
Thank you so much, Jack. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry.